Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Conscious Cool Chic Radio. My name is Molly McCord and I'm delighted you are here today. ConsciousCoolChic.com is a convergent zone of wisdom for anyone interested in expanding their consciousness. I am a consciousness catalyst playing the roles of astrologer, author, intuitive, messenger, and teacher. With insights from spiritual guidance, I share with you consciousness-raising information that benefits and inspires our journeys as human beings. Essentially, that means I take spiritual information and make it practical, understandable, and fun to incorporate in the real world. The first half of the show covers topics related to consciousness and spirituality, and the second half of the show is focused on astrology. We will look at the main astrological energies happening right now, and I invite you to grab your astrological chart to see which areas of your life are being highlighted at this time. And as always, free ebooks, workshops, and inspiring information can be found on the website, ConsciousCoolChic.com. Thanks for being here. Let's get started with today's show. Hi there. Welcome to today's show. This is Molly McCord, and this is Conscious Cool Chic Radio. It is an extension of the blog that I write called ConsciousCoolChic.com. And on there, I share astrological insights, energy updates, intuitive messages. Lately, I've had lots of book reviews to share with you. Some really great new books are out that I thought you might find of interest. And then I do inspirational thoughts and affirmations and all kinds of good stuff. So this is a project that has really grown, and I hope that it's been inspiring and empowering for you as all this information is shared and that it can that it connects with where you are on your own journey. Today's show is talking about the spiritual purpose of the ego. We hear about how bad the ego is, and we can recognize egoic qualities in ourselves and others more accurately these days because there's a lot of information out there about the ego mind, everything that's negative and bad about it. But at the same time, we have an ego for a reason. It's an energy, just like everything. And it's an energy that we can use for our highest good. So today's show, we're going to talk about the important role ego energy plays in our growth when we use it for our divine purpose. We're going to look at what the ego offers us in terms of spiritual gifts and how it is necessary for us to incorporate it into our experience in a higher way. There's going to be some good information in this show that I hope helps you move through ego energies as you experience them within yourself and in others. So we're going to focus on that topic and do a collective release exercise together. For the astrology section of the show today, I'm going to talk about the significance of Mars in your astrological chart. Mars energy is related to the ego, and so it's going to be an extension of this conversation so that you can look at your astrology chart, determine what Mars energy you chose to work with, and how to use it in a higher manner in your own life. So I recommend getting your astrology chart so that you can determine where your Mars is. I have on the Blog Talk Radio slideshow pictures of the 12 different astrological glyphs and a picture of the Mars symbol. You might want to pause it, the slideshow, when it comes up and shows those 12 astrological glyphs, because then you can pinpoint where your Mars is, okay? In the second part of the show, we'll go over all that, and you do want to have your astrology chart so you can figure out what your Mars sign is. You can get a free astrological chart at astro.com. Feel free to listen to this once and then come back and listen to it again after you've collected that information. So what's so great about this radio show is that you can come back and listen to it again and again on demand. So that will be the astrology portion of our show. I want to give you a heads up about something that's happening in the middle of August. August 14th, 15th, and 16th. That's a Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. A very special event is in the works that I am going to be sharing with you more in the future. But it's 15 experts sharing their wisdom, insight, and empowering information for you. It's 3 days of incredible, incredible stuff. I'm very excited about how this is coming together and the lineup that we have. There are people who are emerging leaders in their spiritual fields. There are some new energy healing modalities to share with you. There are experts on sharing your message, whether they be spiritual messages or just the messages that you want to share about your business. There's a lot of really great content for you to take and put into your life that will increase your own levels of success and show you how to work with your energies in the fullest capacity. This event is going to be very, very reasonably priced. And I think that there's a lot of stuff here that you will want to reference again and again. So you will get the recorded presentations are part of this experience, and then you can go back and listen to the information again and again to get more insights and possibilities. So that's just a teaser. I'm going to share with you the website and the full lineup of presenters shortly, but I just wanted to throw it out there to let you know what's ahead, because I think there's some really great stuff that's coming for all of us in August. Before I get started, though, with our main topic today, I wanted to start with a global blessing around the 2012 Olympics. They begin this Friday, July 27th. Depending when you listen to the show, they may have already began. And there's something very powerful about this year's Summer Olympics. It's related to the energy of 2012. It's related to this period in human history. It's related to the geographical location, to London. There's a lot of layers of energy going on here, and we want to connect to the highest possible levels of light and human interaction during this time. And we want to do so in a way that promotes and enhances our heart consciousness. It's interesting because there's the written history of the Olympics and the origination of them, but there's a spiritual history for the Olympics as well. And it's fun to look at the spiritual side of it, because we can watch the Olympics on TV or live, and there's some things that are quite obvious. We have participants from different countries, cultures, backgrounds, you know, wearing different colors, different uniforms, and the excelling in different physical abilities. Yet the spiritual experience of the Olympics is really a reminder of our similarities, regardless of labels, regardless of what we're wearing and where we excel. We are arriving with the same energetic desire to excel to our fullest potential. And I think that's a really strong message of 2012 in general. And so here we have a gathering that supports unity consciousness, and it's elevating our ability to see our commonalities, but it's disguised as a competition. We're arriving energetically in the space to connect with each other and to remember that we are all in physical form together, and that we all have the ability to excel, to push ourselves, to grow, to be excellent. And so that is what I feel, that is my intention when I watch the Olympics, is to remember how similar we are, how much potential we each have in our growth in all areas of life, and that we can support each other in incredible, empowering ways. So I'm going to hold that intention throughout the Olympics. And if it resonates with you, or something similar resonates with you, I invite you to hold the same higher intention. And that together we will create a higher vibration around this event that will diminish and remove any lesser energies or fears that can come up around these gatherings. We have the power to really unite and have that energy be stronger and brighter than anything else. It's almost like I'm tripping over my words here because I have a few things coming in. It's interesting how we have medals as our achievements, you know, gold, silver, bronze. And yet the medals represent these different energetic vibrations that are within each of us naturally. And so I feel that the Olympics are, I want to say, encoded with different vibrations, and it allows us to choose which vibration we connect with and what we choose to see in another. I'm going to choose to see the gold in everyone, regardless of maybe a human interaction, but as a spiritual understanding, to see the gold in every participant, in every volunteer, in everyone who is energetically participating in the Olympics. So that is my global intention for this time, and it'll be interesting to see how it unfolds. Now let's move ahead into our discussion. The spiritual purpose of the ego is similar to the Olympic Games in that we can think there is competition involved, and we can think there are certain things we have to prove and do and a way to demonstrate our power. The ego has those energies within it, inherent within it, because that's what we have chosen to experience over millenniums. When we're looking at ego in human form, we usually see it at its lowest expression. We see how the ego energy will reinforce our separateness because it holds within it all of our memories of all experiences where we were separate, originating from our first separation from source. As soon as we step away from source energy, and that can be whatever it is for you, whether that is God, the universe, the higher divine will, however you define it. As soon as we step away from that energy and step into our own unique energy, there is a new will that comes in to reinforce who we are. It's almost like this energy comes in through the feet and goes up into the spine to make us stand up straight and say, this is me, this is who I am, I am separate from you, from her, from them. And so the ego does that in a way, originally started out doing that in a way that would make it okay to be separate. The ego operates first out of safety and security to say, it's okay for me to be an individual, and I am an individual. What has happened over the history of human interaction is that this separateness and this need to demonstrate personal power has resulted in an overexpression of masculine energy. It is where we go to war. It is where we blame. It's where we have too much pride, jealousy. We can be intolerant. We can feel self-important. The ego has created this expression of ourselves as a way to demonstrate power, to prove our abilities, to demonstrate worth. And through time, the energies have been put to an extreme through various situations that we've created. We are in an era right now of balancing feminine and masculine energy. Calling in higher expressions of divine feminine energy is meant to balance the overextension of masculine energy. And so the ego has played a role in this, the creation of this experience, and the ego also offers us many beautiful solutions. Right now, you can look around, I'm sure, and see an excess of ego energy in various areas of life, whether it be the external world or your internal world. You will see and find that many people have defaulted to using their ego to communicate, to demonstrate who they are, to overcome, to be powerful. And I think of it as sugar. You know, when you get a sugar high, you take too much sugar and you go off into extreme places of energy, and yet your body needs sugar to function. It needs a healthy, regulated dose to function. So the ego can be put to a new use that allows it to function in a healthy manner without being on without experiencing an overdose. When I was putting together today's show, a lot of this information just came through me, as my guides and my divine team does, and does for all of us. And I found myself, this is actually funny to me, I couldn't prepare too much. I had to just trust the information that was going to come through as it did, as a way to demonstrate how we move away from our need to visualize and see things and to reinforce the divine feminine's ability to trust. So I have notes here that I'm reading from, and I have ideas to share. But at the same time, most of this is going to just be my own free expression as channeled information, because that is what we need in our lives right now. We need more trust in ourselves that takes us away from our ego's need to control. The ego wants visual confirmation, wants to feel safe. It wants to assess potentials, to determine worthiness. It is really about a demonstration of self. And when we are working with our own divine feminine energies, we're focused more on gratefulness, spirituality, peace, harmony, self-trust, knowing that we have everything we need and we don't have to prove something. We don't have to demonstrate how powerful we are because it's so innate. There is a connection to being friendly, to being happy and humble, and to know that everything is working together as it should and that we are part of that whole. So what I want to focus on here is, when we're talking about the spiritual purpose of the ego, is that we're bringing in the ego to work for us as part of our divine feminine energies. When I speak of divine masculine and divine feminine energies, I'm not talking about gender per se, because we all have masculine and feminine energies within us. It's not that only women have divinely feminine energy. However, what's interesting for men is that men are learning how to incorporate their divine feminine energy within themselves at this time in order to balance the past lives / current lives of being warriors, of military action, of tyrant, dominant. All these extremes of the male energy are now coming into balance with feminine energies. So this is about energetic signatures within each of us, and less about women do this and men do this. It's activating your full energetic expression. And we're going to look at how the ego is excellent for doing that. We don't want to keep the ego separate by saying it's bad, because then we're reinforcing that very separateness. By saying the ego is bad, we're separating it away from ourselves. And the idea is to incorporate it and to bring it in. We chose to work with egoic energy in human form because we wanted to have an energetic source that would remind us of all we can do in our physical form. And the ego has the capability to ground us in physical form. It has the ability to help us direct our energy, to determine what motivates us, to focus on taking action. The ego has a very important purpose here in our lives, and we want to make sure that we're using it to its highest expression by understanding it in that capacity. When we think about the ego being out in the world, we know that there is a lot it can do for us and a lot it could do against us. It's how war gets started, arguments, disagreements. Not all of those, but many of those become this need to one-up or to demonstrate more strength and more courage and more power. But the ego is being misused in those situations. What the ego really wants is validation, acknowledgement. It wants to be seen. And when you have the capacity to do that for yourself, within yourself, to say, I see myself in my full power. I acknowledge myself in all of my gifts. I validate who I am, what I can offer, how I can serve others. I validate my full, amazing personal expression. When you start to do that for yourself, you're bringing the ego in within your spiritual understanding and your spiritual self-definition. By implementing the ego into our lives in a healthy manner, it gives us more focus on what we can do. It reinforces our self-confidence. It reminds us that we are successful, that we are beautiful, that we are happy, and we can have everything we've ever wanted, because we're in touch with our spiritual divinity and everything that already resides within us. And so what we want to do is reassign the ego. We don't want it to be about an external expression. We want it to be an internal expression where we give ourselves all the validation, acknowledgement, and reminders that we need without needing it as much from the external world. Now, of course, we all have bad days. We all need pick-me-ups. You know, we all need a pat on the back from time to time. That's okay. That's completely okay. But if 80% of your validation and acknowledgement is coming from within, you are using your ego energy in a more healthy expression and contributing to a healthier expression of divine feminine energy, which is about trust, which is about openness, which is about acceptance and embracing people and understanding that every person has something to offer. So we can talk about this, the ego, and what it does for us, and we understand it mentally, intellectually, and rationally, right? Like, we get it. But we are still human, and that means that we still have the full expression of emotions that come up. And some of those will be the lower egoic energies at times. Now, the lower egoic energies never go completely away, 100%, but what happens is that you move through them faster. So you will still feel anger or a need to prove yourself. You will still feel that you need validation from someone or that you're looking for something. I mean, that stuff doesn't go away 100%, and I don't want to set the expectation that it will. But the idea is that when it comes up, you're able to see it faster. You observe yourself, and you can move through it to the other side. because you know what it's about. So let's look at that. What is it about for you? Where does your ego pop up in a way that you can't ignore it most often in your life? What triggers you? Is it triggered in professional settings, such as with a boss or with an assistant? Is it triggered with family members or within certain family dynamics? Is it within interactions mostly with men or interactions mostly with women? Chances are there's a pattern here. There's things that are triggered for you every time you feel the need to demonstrate something from an egoic place. There's a pattern within you that is circling around, and until you notice that pattern, it will continue to circle. So this is why we want to figure out what the triggers are and then look at how you can observe that within yourself without judgment, which is looking at it. Saying, oh, when this person says this to me, I notice I feel anger, or I feel I need to say something like this, or whatever it is for you. The idea is to be in a place where you can observe your ego in action. When you've done that, when you've pinpointed some areas where your ego is in action, there's a few things you can do. If it's really powerful for you, it'll be different for everyone, but if it's really, really powerful experience for you, and it triggers a lot, and it takes you to a deep emotional place, and a lot of, we'll call it gunk, comes up, give yourself an ego hour. Give yourself time to work through that emotion and to move it through you. And maybe it is a designated hour where you decide, I just have to say these things or experience this within myself. And that could be while you're exercising. It could be while you're doing an activity. Just give yourself time to express that ego energy so you can get to the other side of it. Because it's not about judging yourself for having lower ego energies at times. It's about moving through it. And when you're on the other side, then you can look back and be an observer of it and say, okay, well, this person really triggered this in me because he said blah, 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 and that seemed to trigger me into this whole reactionary place or this whole need to prove myself or this whole need to demonstrate that I'm powerful or whatever it is for you. When we have these experiences, they are gold because it's showing you how powerful ego energy is, and it's showing you how you can give it a new purpose. Ultimately, the ego wants your validation and acknowledgement. And it's almost like a child that's throwing a tantrum and stirring up trouble and causing all this mischief that just wants a different job to do. So we need to reassign the ego, give it a new direction to focus on, and connect it to your highest expression of self, which is the reminder that you are complete, you are powerful, you are a beautiful, unique, divine fingerprint here with many gifts to offer, so much to share, that you are important, you are needed, that it's completely safe to express yourself and be your creative essence, and ultimately that you are always connected to the supreme love that is the universe. When you have all of these thoughts in alignment, when you know all of these feelings within you, innately, your ego shifts gears and it sees conversations with people differently. It sees interactions differently. It looks for new behaviors to express itself. Because like a child, your ego is malleable and it's ready to take on more information and more knowledge to grow. So think about how when you understand how important you are in the world and how valuable you are, when you know that your creative gifts are truly amazing and that you are divinely loved in all areas of your life, when you hold those beliefs within yourself, your ego changes form, because then it wants to further that understanding and that those beliefs by assisting others, by empowering others, by knowing that everything you are doing and all of your dreams and all of your goals benefit everyone when you share, and that your abilities inspire people. And they want to connect with you, and they want to know you better. It creates this whole new dynamic of energy, because then the ego is excited to be powerful in a very healthy way. It's excited to be powerful in a way that supports other people's while it supports itself, that it gives to others while giving to yourself, that it shares and loves others as it loves itself. So it's incredible to think about how powerful our egos are when they are given new tasks and new directions to focus their energy. That's the shift that's happening right now globally, is that we're understanding what war has done on multiple levels, not just in terms of going to war and fighting each other, but how it's affected our psyche, how we've absorbed that, how we've come to expect it and anticipate it. We're shifting gears now, intentionally and consciously, to be desiring peace, harmony, cooperation, to say, this is the energy that I choose because it benefits all, because it supports all, because I recognize in you how divine you are and how loved you are, just as I recognize within me how divine I am and how loved I am, and I don't need to go to war or be a warrior to prove that. The dynamic is global and personal. And this is the time when we are here because our mission, and this is a generalization, you will know if it resonates for you or not, but collectively our mission is to get to that point where divine feminine energies are valued and loved, and where our egos are supportive of those initiatives and endeavors, and that our egos are working in full capacity to support our spiritual growth, our connections to each other, and to create greater love and light, not only on the planet, but in the universe. That's how big it is. So the spiritual purpose of your ego is to put you into a place of remembering how complete you are, how divine you are, how loved you are. And it's a reminder that you can choose how to direct your energies at all times. How do you want to direct your will? How do you want to direct your action? What is the best way for you to express yourself? It's interesting to observe as well what we need from each other during this shift. You might find that you need less external validation and less confirmation because you're becoming more content within your own energy field and within your own ability to validate and love yourself to the extent that you need less and less of that externally. So this is an incredible shift here, and I like to think of the ego as sort of a new part of us that we're bringing into the party. And it's been left out on the doorstep. It's been villainized quite a bit, and yet it just wants a new purpose. So consider how you can give your ego, a new purpose. When you are in contact interaction with someone else who is going through a lot of ego energy, it's wonderful to send them light. Some people at this time are not open to it, however. That's just their choice. They're not open to receiving more light or open to changing who they are and how they operate in the world. In which case, that is your opportunity to bless, to detach, and to remember that you have your own choices about your energy. So I feel that the ego has so much to teach us when we're open to it. We don't need to make it bad. We don't need to make it a negative expression. So what I want to do is do a release exercise around ego energy within your own energy field. If you feel that there are some things you are ready to transform and upgrade, I invite you to do this exercise. I'm going to take a quick drink of water. I feel guided to stand with my feet firmly planted on the ground. You can sit if you'd like. I want to have my core, my spine, very straight and strong, so standing feels good to me. We're going to take in a few deep breaths. And I want you to focus your energy on your solar plexus, which is right below your belly button. And focus your energy right there. You can see it as a chakra or just as an energy field, whatever feels best. And imagine within that area of your body, of your being, there's a word that comes forward, that comes out. I want you to see what that word is. It's a word from your ego. It could just say ego. It could be power, anger, fear, suppression, rejection, victim, whatever word comes up for you. Okay. As this word is coming out of your body, keep breathing. And I want you to see it coming forward in a black, has like a black font to it, and it's coming out of your being. And now see this word starting to circle around in front of you. It's in front of your belly and it's circling around, spinning and spinning, and it's getting faster. And as it's spinning, imagine two hands coming around this word and holding it. And these are very powerful, loving hands. And as the word is spinning, you see these hands start, they're releasing sparkles all around the word to lighten the energy. And the word is now changing color to be a purple. And the hands are moving all around it as if it's a crystal ball, and they're transforming the word. And now the word is turning into a beautiful blue, a really gorgeous blue. And it's changing into green, an effervescent, gorgeous green. The hands are still moving around it to keep it safe, to keep this word safe. Now it's moving to yellow, a very bright, bright yellow. And now it's moving into orange, a warm, deep orange color. And finally, the word is turning into a soft, beautiful red. And as it's changing form into this red color, it's starting to break apart. It's no longer a word at all. It's a bunch of sparkles moving all around, sort of like in a crystal ball. And the hands are still holding it and keeping it safe. And now the sparkles are coming together, and they're creating the word love. And the hands are growing bigger, and actually they're changing into wings. The hands are moving into wings, angel wings. And so you have this gorgeous, incredible, dynamic word of love that's spinning around. And I want you to see the word now magnetized back into your body. It just effortlessly comes into your solar plexus again and sits in there. So take a few deep breaths to absorb it. And then see these wings flutter away, and they take away any residue. You might feel some residue around whatever word you are working with, but these wings just take it away, and it flutters away. And this new expression of love is rooted into your solar plexus, and it's sitting there. It's sitting there glowing with the warm, loving heat that feels very similar to a hug. It's just a beautiful, warm feeling. Let's just let it sit there for another moment. Okay, and now I might feel the need to stretch a bit, moving my shoulders, moving my neck and my hips a bit, just moving all that energy all around. Okay, moving my feet and coming back into the room, into the space. And what that felt like for me was taking the lower expression of some part of the ego energy that wanted to change. It was ready. It needed it. It was ready to have a new purpose. And then to take that and put it back into the energy field in a way that is supported and loving, so that it knows it's safe and that it has a new job to do. And my solar plexus still feels warm in a very nice way. So I hope that that was helpful for you. Feel free to listen to it again if there's another emotion or something else you want to work with. And feel free to do that exercise as it comes up for you, anywhere you are in your daily life. It's pretty simple and easy, and I think it's really effective. So I hope that that felt good and that it gave you an idea of how simple it can be to transition the lower energies into higher expressions. I'm going to grab a quick glass of water. Okay. So I hope this opened up some new possibilities about how the ego is important to us and that we need it to keep us grounded in human form, and it helps us direct our energy in the highest possible ways that serve ourselves and serve others. And I'm going to segue now into the astrology component. As I mentioned at the top of the show, you might want to grab your astrology chart to look at where Mars is in your house, or excuse me, in your horoscope. The Mars glyph is pretty popular, pretty common, so you might recognize it. And then also you'll see there on the Blog Talk Radio slideshow that those are all the different glyphs for each astrology sign. So you're looking for the symbol of Mars and the astrological glyph that it's next to. Mars is related to ego energy in astrology. It's related to how we express ourselves, how we go for what we want. It tells us what we are motivated to do and how we take action. It's a little more complex than just your Mars sign. It's usually your Mars sign coupled with the energy of your Sun sign and other factors in the chart, but I want to keep it simple here so that you can get some good information for yourself without complicating matters. The Mars energy will create very different expressions of ego, and it will tell you what may trigger you the most and how you react. Like any astrological sign, it has its higher and lower expressions. So I'm going to talk about both of those for each sign. And we'll go from there. And I'm going to start with Mars in Aries. Now, Mars is very comfortable in Aries because Mars rules Aries, which means that their energies are enforced and compatible. Aries is the first sign of the zodiac. It gets things going. So if you have Mars in Aries, I would guess you are an initiator and you go for what you want. You say, let's do it. Let's go full force ahead. I want this and I'm going to charge and move towards it. There isn't always a lot of thought or details involved. It's a very inspired sign. It's action oriented. It's let's take off on this path now and we'll just see what happens as it comes up. There's usually personal motivation involved, where you say, I do it for me first, others second, if you think of others. This is a very self-focused energy at its lower expression. At its higher expression, Mars in Aries will say, well, I'm going to do this because I know it will benefit all, because I know if I initiate this action and go for this goal, it has the potential to bring others what they need. This is the mature expression. And Mars in Aries is also focused on knowing what is best for themselves and their own identity and how to expand their self-identity in a way that can teach others and motivate others. Now, Mars in Taurus is different energy than Mars in Aries. Mars in Taurus is much more, it's focused, steadfast, determined. It wants to scope out the terrain before making a move. There's more reservation involved. The Mars in Taurus will stick with a plan and go for it and keep on the same path, and probably will never let go of something either. Taurus can be a very stubborn sign. That's probably one of the most common words associated with Taurus, but it's because there's also a willpower there, a focus and a determination to get something done. Mars in Gemini will be motivated to determine what's interesting, what's the latest information. This is the supreme multitasker. If you have Mars in Gemini, you are probably excellent at doing many things at once, and you can diverge into multiple projects at once. It's about collecting data and information, and it's very curious. It's about going out into the world and seeing what's happening, what's going on, who's doing what. It can be a very gossip-driven energy, and the need to just be aware of everything that's happening within, like within your groups of friends, within your family. It can be a very, distracted energy, and it's constantly looking for new stimuli. Mars in Gemini is also a voracious reader and a collector of facts and information, and knows a lot knows a little about a lot. But Mars in Gemini likes to travel and likes to move. It's a sign that has a lot of mental energy behind it. Then we move into Mars in Cancer. Anytime Mars is in a water sign, Cancer, Scorpio, or Pisces, its energy is diffused a bit because water puts out fire. And so we have this combination of, I really want to do something, but I might be wishy-washy about it. With Cancer, the motivation is emotional security. Does this feel safe? If I take this action, if I take this risk, am I going to be safe? If the Mars in Cancer person feels safe, they will do something wholeheartedly. They will go for it. They will follow what moves them. But they might do so in a way that is sideways, meaning it's not going to be a direct action. It might be through other people that you might find out information. It might be a lateral move to another area that's safe, meaning if you want to start a project, you might look left and right and determine what is the best direction to go and then move sideways. It's less about charging straight ahead than about working in a way that is kind of a roundabout direction, because the Mars in Cancer wants to be safe and it wants to be secure and it doesn't want to be vulnerable. So there could be one foot in the water, one foot out of the water. Next we move into Mars in Leo. Leo is the second fire sign, and Mars in a fire sign is very action oriented. It's inspired. It wants to move. This is a sign that will go for its goals and stick with it. Usually it's inspired by creative expression, having fun, trying something new. This could be the daredevil. Mars in Leo can be a bit of a show-off and a daredevil at times and say, look at me, look what I can do, and I'm going to take this mountain bike over the most dangerous terrain I can find. There can be a recklessness about Mars in Leo. It can also be a sign that just loves adventure and just wants to have a lot of fun out in the world and share itself, share its light. Mars in Virgo is a much different energy, because this is where we want to focus on disciplined work and following a routine. Mars in Virgo likes organizing information, following through with it, being efficient, being accurate. There is a strive for perfection. In an earlier show, I talked about Mars in Virgo a lot because we've been in the Mars in Virgo energy for about 8 months, which is a very long time for a Mars to be in one sign. And Mars in Virgo is also associated with athletes because there is a need to be focused on physical perfection. Mars in Virgo can also be too structured and have too high standards, that they really are striving for a certain outcome that's ultimately unattainable. Mars in Libra is an interesting dynamic, because Libra is opposite of Aries in the astrological signs, and Mars is most comfortable in Aries, which means that Mars in Libra is a little bit uncomfortable, because Libra likes to assess both sides of a situation before stepping forward. And it wants to look at the pros and cons, gather information, it wants to talk about it, it wants to relate to people. So a Mars in Libra is someone who's really motivated by relationships and by communicating with others and finding new ideas and just talking and relating. So Mars in Libra, it wants to be social, but it can be paralyzed with indecision. And there can be a quality where it doesn't want to make waves. It doesn't want to get dirty. It wants to stay in a very refined, beautiful place without taking a risk. It wants to be comfortable. So Mars in Libra can take a little pushing to get moving forward. It might need another out an external spark to get going. Might need to be motivated by a relationship in order to make a decision. Then we look at Mars in Scorpio. This is an intense energy. There is a lot of focus here. There is a laser sharp focus, I would say, and there's passion about a goal. If you want someone with Mars in Scorpio to get going, you have to connect it to a passion for them. That can be related to money. It can be related to working with others, being successful, organizing. Mars in Scorpio is a very driven sign. However, it can also incorporate jealousy and envy. It can be manipulative and deceptive. This energy can turn on itself where you're constantly comparing yourself to others. Now we move to Mars in Sagittarius. And this is the hunter and adventurer of the zodiac. Mars in Sagittarius says, let's explore. Let's have fun. Let's go outside. Let's go outside into the woods. Let's go to the airport and travel somewhere far away. Let's just move. There's a restlessness associated with Mars in Sagittarius. They're inspired by the bigger picture and the bigger vision. They're not too interested in the details and all the little stuff along the way. They'll have a huge idea that they want to see come to fruition, and they'll go for it. Again, this is a fire sign, so Mars likes its fire, and it wants to go and accomplish and get out there and share information. This is a sign that has a lot of energy behind it. And the combination of the two easily it multiplies, and it's your world travelers. It's your people who know a lot about different religions and different philosophies. They're really interested in the bigger ideas of the world. And so then we move to Mars in Capricorn. And Mars in Capricorn is motivated by being an authority on a topic within an organization, among their peers. Mars in Capricorn wants to be an expert, wants to be taken seriously for their knowledge and experience. And they can have this natural air of leadership about them. There's a commanding presence about a healthy Mars in Capricorn expression. On the lower side, it can be very petty. It can be negative and judgmental. It can lack discipline. But ultimately, Mars in Capricorn wants to be seen as a leader. It wants to be... I usually think of it as an excellent military commander because it likes to be in charge of an organization and making sure that something is completed, that goals are being reached, and that progress is being made in a very systematic and practical manner. So then the next one we move to is Mars in Aquarius. And Mars in Aquarius is focused on doing what is best for everyone with consistency, with innovation, and with focus. There's a machine-like determination with Mars in Aquarius. Repetition and being focused on a supreme goal is motivating. Also, this is heavily connected with charity work and humanitarian efforts. If you have Mars in Aquarius, you might be motivated to volunteer for anything, you know, just to do good in the world. You want to be out there and contributing. You want to be donating your energy and your time to efforts that support other people. And then the final Mars energy we're looking at is Mars in Pisces. Again, Pisces is a water sign. So when Mars is in a water sign, there could be the need to go with the flow. You know, you're working with the tides, ebbing and flowing with whatever the daily energy is. Mars in Pisces is inspiration-based motivation. It's motivated by creativity, by spirituality, by what can't be seen, but you want to put effort towards supporting it. There can be an inconsistency with Mars and Pisces. You can disappear for a while and be gone, and then you come back and you're at full force and you're ready to start again. This combination likes flexibility, and it likes to have its own space to do what it wants to when it wants to. But at its highest purpose, Mars and Pisces will come from a very spiritually motivated place and will take action that benefits everyone. It's a compassionate sign. It wants to just do good. It's the lover, not the fighter, which is interesting because Mars is commonly associated with being the fighter. So Mars in Pisces will temper that energy quite a bit. So that is the quick and simple overview of Mars energy. And as I stated, when it's coupled with the Sun's energy, that's how we get your authentic ego expression. And I hope that this gave you some ideas of how you can elevate your own ego energies when they come up, when you see them arise and know that they're not of their highest quality. The show went really fast, as this whole year has gone really fast, and so we are at time right now. I feel like we covered a lot. I hope that you've got some value out of this information. Of course, listen to any parts of it again if you wanted to review the Mars astrology insights, or if you want to do that guided release exercise again. I will be back next week with a special guest to share with you, and I hope you have a great day. Thanks for listening as always. Bye-bye.
I have become alive. I wish that I could have this moment for life. For life. For life. Cause in this moment I just feel so alive. 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 I wish that I could have this moment for life. I'm home.